Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, New Testament. We'll be in verses 11 through 16 this morning. So your phone, your Bible, your tablet, somebody else's phone, Bible, or tablet, get wherever you can see it. I think it's going to be up here on the screen as well. I currently have the privilege of coaching my son's U6 soccer team, which means we have some 7-year-olds, some 6-year-olds, no 5-year-olds, and a bunch of 4-year-olds all on one soccer team. There's 13 of them. And every practice, I become more and more aware of my inability to coach 4 through 7-year-old soccer. But it's fun. I love them. They're precious. But we had our third practice this past Thursday, and sometime before the practice, I realized I hadn't asked him a couple of questions. This is going to show you why I'm realizing my inability to coach 4-year-old soccer. I hadn't asked him who had played soccer before. It gets better. And I had not asked him if they knew how to score. And those are just basic questions. Before practice started, I tried to get them excited and gathered around, and I asked them who had played soccer before, and I meant like out in the rec league, and all of them raised their hands because they've all had 3 practices at this point. So I'm still not sure who's played before. But then I asked them how you scored, and about 50% of the kids said, you just kicked the ball. So we have some work to do. But that's part of the purpose of U6 soccer, is we expect them to come in not knowing much about soccer, if anything at all, and we expect them at the beginning of the season to go from that point to a different point of knowing a little more and maybe not touching the ball with their hands. And so there is an expectation of growth. Not just knowledge of soccer, but their ability to play for these boys and girls on these little soccer teams in Cairo. And that's a good expectation, right? That they would come in not knowing as much and not have the same ability they would have at the end, but would have no more and have a better ability to play soccer at the end of the season. I think it's a good expectation. I hope it happens for our soccer team. I want us to think about something. We have that expectation in just about every facet of our life, whether it's work or education, family life, whatever aspect, section of our life we think about, there, even our hobbies, we expect there to be some kind of progression, right? And when it comes to our Christian life, and when we read God's Word has an expectation also that those who come into the faith grow in the faith after that day, that there is a continual throughout their life here on earth that the Lord is working in their life and growing them in their knowledge and in their faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're talking about this morning. I think sometimes we leave that out. I think sometimes when we come to know the Lord, we are saved in Him. There's no doubt about that. Praise God. Once we know Him, we are His. He holds on to us. Praise God. But then I think we forget we leave out the expectation of growth, that we shouldn't be where we are now or in a year the same place we are now. We shouldn't be in the same place in 2 years where we are a year from now in our relationship with Jesus. We should be growing. We should be continually moving towards maturity, moving towards Christ-likeness. This is where we're going this morning. The last couple of Sundays we've had together, with the exception of Irma, we've been looking at our mission statement. We've been looking at Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Acts 1, 6 through 8, and we see how the first parts of our mission statement fit together, scripturally speaking, that we would be a church who is committed to making disciples of Jesus, who will go on to make disciples of Jesus. And that's what we do. We ask the question, where we do it? In Grady County and around the world, according to Acts 6, 1 through 8. But then the question comes up of how do we do this? And the first piece of that how is that if we are going to carry out God's mission in Cairo and around the world of making disciples of Jesus, who will go on to make disciples of Jesus, then we ourselves must be currently growing in our faith. And we catch a picture of that, a very clear picture of that, in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Let's read and then we'll pray. And he, Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we do lift your name. We do lift the name of your Son, and we do thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. God, we pray as your church here in Cairo, an expression of your body here, Lord, we pray that you would do a work here this morning that only you can. We pray that you would grow us as a result of our time in your word this morning, that we would move from a place of maturity to a greater place of maturity, from a place of immaturity to a place of closer to maturity in your Son. Father, we pray for those who are here that may not have a relationship with Jesus. We pray that you would convict them of their sin and their need for Jesus, and convict them of your righteousness, your holiness, and that they would place faith alone in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sin and their salvation. God, we lift those up who can't be with us this morning. We ask that you would be with them in a special way, that you would bring comfort and peace. And Lord, we ask that you would guide us through your word this morning. Every word, every thought. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So, what we find here in this passage is that God's will is for his church to be nurtured and to grow in the gospel together. And we're going to break that apart in two pieces, and we're going to see it right here very clearly, I think, in these verses. The first part is this, is it is God's will for his church to be nurtured together. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, it says, and he gave, that is God, Jesus, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Notice at the beginning of verse 11, it doesn't say that it happened to be that God wound up with some of these people among the church, and they happened to be equipped for the work of the ministry. No, it says that he gave. In other words, he did it on purpose. He chose to do it, and it is his will that he would equip the church with certain people, with certain gifts, so that the church as a whole, look at the word the saints in verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Many times we think of saints as because of the names of churches and different things that denominations have used that word for, as particular Christians in the past that were like super Christians. But biblically speaking, in the New Testament, the way that word is used is just like we use the word Christian or Christ follower or disciple of Jesus. Saints are those that have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus. So if you have placed faith in Jesus and repented of your sin, you, my friend, are a saint. And I am too. Praise God. We've been sanctified by the blood of His Son. So he's saying that He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherd teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So we have the idea of the apostles, those that Jesus chose to come with Him, to follow Him, to be up under His wing and His teaching, and to carry the initial word of the gospel out from Him, the apostles, that many of whom contributed by the power of the Holy Spirit to the New Testament. Then we have the prophets who would have also contributed to the New Testament, but wouldn't have been necessarily apostles, but were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write New Testament books. And then we have the evangelists, who we have evangelists today. You've probably been under their teaching, their preaching. Men gifted to share the gospel, and the Lord works through them in such a way that many come to faith as a result of Him using them. That doesn't neglect our responsibility to share the gospel, but He has gifted some specifically with that task, and He uses them greatly. And then we get to the last two, the shepherds and teachers, and really this is just one, shepherds, teachers, or pastors, teachers. He's speaking of specific gifts that He's given to specific people through the course of history to equip the church. And notice what He's equipping the church to do. The idea of equipping is preparing the church for something, preparing the saints for something, the work of ministry. So right here we have the idea that the church as a whole, every person that is a part of the church, every believer is supposed to be equipped for the work of ministry. We could ask what ministry is here, and we'd find if we dug into this word that it's the same word for service. It's the same word that we get deacon from. So we could say that the church is supposed to be equipped for the work of serving one another, serving the world so that people come to know Jesus. And the way that the church is equipped to do that is God has given us specific individuals throughout history to equip us to do that. Another way we could put that is to nurture us to do that. Look at the end of verse 12. The first part is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. The second part is for building up the body of Christ. So the church is equipped for ministry and service, and the result of that is that the church, the body of Christ, is built up. And we have imagery, and we get so used to this imagery in the New Testament, the body of Christ, that we forget, we kind of gloss over it. But if we were reading it for the first time, we'd stop and we'd think about the terminology, body of Christ. He is saying something about the church, that the church has to be attached to the head, Jesus, and the church is made up of many parts. We see this in 1 Corinthians 12 and in other places in Ephesians. Church is made up of many parts that are all dependent on one another, intricately woven together, dependent upon one another. And what happens when the church is equipped for the work of ministry is the church is built up. The body of Christ grows, is built up in two different ways. One way is it gets stronger. When a body, a physical body, is nurtured, it gains strength, right? When someone is in the hospital, you want to see them be nurtured, which hospitals do, and you want to see them gain strength. And so that's what the equipping of the saints is supposed to do. It's supposed to lead to the nurturing of the body of Christ, the strengthening of the body of Christ. But also it's supposed to lead to the growth of the body of Christ. So the body gets stronger and the body grows. a teenager continues to grow up, an 8-year-old, 9-year-old boy, those little kids on my soccer team, they're going to grow and grow and grow as they're nurtured and get bigger. And we see that that should happen as a result of the saints being equipped and doing the work of ministry, of service, is that the body should be strengthened, but the body should grow. And the way that the church grows is people are added to it. People come to faith in Jesus, right? You with me so far? All right, so we got to ask a question. Skip down to verse 16. Let's just read 16. It says, "From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Look at the beginning. "From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint." We can ask the question not what is holding the body together, but who is, and that is Jesus. And how does he hold the body together? He holds the body together by its different parts, held together by every joint with which it is equipped. He is speaking of myself and you as individuals. We are the different joints and parts of the body that Jesus is using to hold the body together. We can ask the question this too. Who equips us? Each joint, we are equipped by one another. Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered, we are equipped by one another. And the result of that is the end of this verse. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What I want us to see, if we miss everything else this morning, is that it is God's will for us to be nurtured as a church, to be fed, all of us, regardless of where we are on the maturity spectrum, whether we're a new believer and we're immature in our faith, a baby in our faith, or we're an older believer and we've matured in our faith over the years, it is God's will for us all to be nurtured together. Notice all this imagery gives us a picture of the church being dependent on one another. And God did it this way on purpose. We could ask, what's this mean for us? You can think about it this way. When an infant is born, an infant must be nurtured, right? Must be nurtured. An infant is expected to grow, and it needs someone else to nurture it, to feed it. And one of the things I want to say this morning is that it is God's will for us to begin our spiritual walk with Him as spiritual infants. Jesus uses this terminology with Nicodemus in the Gospel of John chapter 3. He's explaining to Nicodemus who he is, and he says, you must be what? Born again. He's given him the picture of spiritual infancy. And what I want to say to you this morning is, if you feel like you are a spiritual infant, like you haven't grown in your faith, or you are a new Christian and you're intimidated by others that know more than you and have done more than you and seem to have more faith than you, I just want to encourage you for a second. It is God's will for you to start your walk with Him there. And there are no exceptions to that. Even those like the Apostle Paul who came to faith, even though he had a lot of head knowledge, if we read Acts and the account of his coming to faith, he was nurtured before God used him mightily in his kingdom. And he grew as a believer before God used him mightily as in his kingdom. And so I just want to encourage you, if you feel like you're an infant among saints, that's okay. What is not okay is for us to remain there. You may be going, well, I feel like I'm a spiritual baby and I've been a Christian for 20 years. I just want to encourage you that, like, that's okay. Like, it's not God's will for you to remain there. Maybe you didn't have a church to plug into. Maybe you just didn't know. Maybe somebody didn't pour into you. But you can move from here. You are His, and it is His will for you to be nurtured among His church. That's good news, isn't it? And we can see from this that it is God's will for us to plug into a local church so that we can be nurtured. If the way He has set up our nurturing to happen is among other believers, then the answer to that is for us to plug in to the local church, right? For us to have a church where we can be and will be nurtured and will be fed. Where we will move from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. Where we will move from one level of maturity in Christ to another level of maturity in Christ. And where we can help others move from one place of maturity to another. You see, when we take this in, what we find is that church is crucial for the Christian. Can someone be saved and be secure in Christ for eternity and not attend church? Yes. Can someone outside of circumstances prohibiting them from being a part of a local church, can someone grow in their faith and walk obediently to their Lord apart from a local church? I think we would be hard-pressed to examine the Scriptures and answer yes to that question. I don't think they can. I think when we find and examine the Scriptures, we would answer a clear and concise no. Because God's will is for us to be nurtured, not off by ourselves, but together. Together. What happens when someone's nurtured? What happens when those little boys and little girls on the soccer team are nurtured? They grow up, right? They grow up. And so that's the next part, the second truth piece this morning, is God's will is for His church to grow in the gospel together. To grow in the gospel together. Look at verses 13 through 15. Just read them again with me. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. So again, this idea of spiritual maturity very clearly painted for us here in these verses. Look at verse 13. He gives us this picture of mature manhood, mature spiritual manhood. We could say adulthood there. Mature spiritual adulthood. He gives us a further picture of that. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So spiritual maturity is one who has grown up into Christ-likeness. The more like Jesus we are in our thoughts, our actions, our attentions, our everything, the more spiritually mature we are. That's the measure that our maturity is measured, is put up against. Now he gives us a picture of what this is, a teaching of what this is in verse 13. He says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So what does it look like for someone to be mature in Christ, to be like Jesus? To put it simply, as Paul put it, it means that a Christian is confident about who Jesus is. They know in their own mind and their own heart exactly why He came to earth, exactly what He did throughout His life, living perfectly for us, exactly why He died and what He did in His death on our behalf, and exactly what He did in walking out of the grave 3 days later. A mature Christian not only knows that and believes that, but they are confident about those things. They can sit down with somebody else and talk about those things with them. When they hear things that may contradict the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus, they can speak to those things. They can defend Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And not only that, but they can spread the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. They are confident. They know Jesus. They know in their mind Jesus, but they also know Jesus experientially. So they can testify to what Jesus did in his life, death, resurrection, but they can testify to what the Spirit of Jesus has done in their life, and the Word of Jesus has done in their life in different seasons. They know him in their head, they know him in their heart, because they've experienced him working in their life. And so they attain the knowledge of the Son of God, Jesus, and the unity of the faith. In other words, they're not off on a limb by themselves, but they are unified with other believers that they can defend the life, death, and resurrection with, and spread the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus with. They are unified with other believers. They know what separates them from people that aren't believers. They know that what doesn't. They're working to see that others come to faith in Jesus. They're unified and they're growing in the knowledge of Jesus. Head knowledge and heart knowledge. We reflect Jesus in our attitudes, our words, our actions, our thoughts. We grow into his likeness. Verse 15 says, rather speaking truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is in the head, into Christ. We are to grow into Jesus. And pause right here for a second. I want to speak to the Christian. If you're here and you know that you have a relationship with the Lord, you can point to a time in your life where you surrendered, you believed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and you sought him for the forgiveness of your sins, surrendering your life to him. And you say, I know that I'm a Christian. Praise God. I want to speak to us for a second here this morning. Is there a pattern of growth towards Christ-likeness in your life? Is there a pattern of spiritual maturation in your life? You are moving from spiritual infancy to spiritual adulthood. None of us will attain it while we are here. But he is faithful to bring to completion what he has begun in us. And he will. But is there a pattern of growth in your life? If there's not, I want to encourage you to seek out ways. Well, first seek out him and plead with him to grow you in your faith. And then from there, seek out ways that you can grow in your faith. To those of you who may not be a Christian here this morning, I want to say to you that you don't grow into Christ's likeness and then get saved. The call to you isn't to behave better. The call to you is to simply believe in his life, death, and resurrection and throw yourself at his mercy and his grace, knowing that only he can save you. And he is faithful to save. He is able to save. He rose from the dead. And he is worthy of your trust. He is the King of Kings. So that's the call to you. Simple faith. Notice that in verse 14, it gives us a description of spiritual children, spiritual infants. It says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. The idea here is I think of a child in the grocery store. you guys that have carried a child down to the grocery store and chosen the path of the cereal aisle, that it's an exercise in self-control for both you and the child. Because for whatever reason, the stores have chosen to put all the sugary goodness on eye level with the grocery cart, right? And so they ride by and they're like, ooh, Captain Crunch. And you're like, nope, ooh, sugary this, ooh, chocolatey that, ooh, cinnamony this, ooh, ooh, ooh. And you're like, nope, 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 nope. Be quiet, we're almost off the aisle, right? And they're swayed and carried by every cartoon character on every cereal box that's in front of them. And the spiritual, the idea of spiritual infancy here is one of they are in Christ. They have placed faith in Him. But after coming to faith in Him, they are starting to hear false teachings. Well, Jesus was really like this. Well, this part of God's word may or may not be true. And this, and that, and this. And they're like, wait, is that true? Ooh, that sounds nice. Wait, okay. Well, I'm not. And they're not firm in their faith. And so, church, I want to say to us, it is our God-given privilege and responsibility to move spiritual infants from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. We can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we have a great responsibility on our hands because we are called to be nurtured and to grow in the gospel together. Are you with me? Now, I want us to see a couple of things as we close this morning. First, we have this imagery of body, the body of Christ, the church in God's word, over and over and over again, the body of Christ. We have this imagery of Jesus being the head of the body. If we disconnect ourselves from the body, we're not going to grow. And so we need to see that church, the local body of believers, is important for the believers. Any, yours, mine, any believer out there is important for them. If they're disconnected from the body, they're not going to grow into the head's likeness. And they're not going to be nurtured, and they're going to flounder. And that's why we say that Eastside Baptist Church, we're committed to making disciples who make disciples in Grady County and around the world. And the first way we do that is we grow in the gospel together. And I want us to see something this morning. If you're a Christian and you're here, you need to know that you are so valuable to the God of the universe, who spoke the universe into existence, that He did not spare His only Son for you. And He has made His church, His bride, His body invaluable to you. That in Him, He has ordained His body to be the way that you and I grow into His likeness. So you are invaluable to Him, and He has made His body invaluable to you. But not only that, He has made you invaluable to His body, because when we grow in Him, He gifts us with certain gifts to be used in His church so that others will grow into His likeness. So you are invaluable to the God of the universe, so much so that He didn't spare His only Son for you. And He has made His body invaluable to you so that you will be nurtured, and He has made you invaluable to His body so that others may be nurtured by Him through you. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? So my guess is that of all of us here, we sit in probably four different positions this morning. I know well that some of you are faithful and growing in your faith. The Lord is moving you closer and closer into His likeness as a result of many things in your life, but one of them being that you are together with His church. So I want to say to you, keep up the work and carry others along with you. I know that some of you here, and you are faithful to this church, to give, to be here on Sunday mornings, and I want to encourage you to take another step in the life of the church. And a great way to plug further into the church, to grow in the gospel with us, is Sunday school. Get involved there so that you know people personally and you have a chance to ask questions as the Bible is taught. You have a chance to care for others and to go with others. And come eat with us on Sunday nights, just so you can get to know other people, man. Just come eat with us on Wednesday nights. I think I said Sunday, but on Wednesday nights. And pray with us. We have a good time on Wednesday nights. Just take another step. Take another step with us. Grow to know your brothers and sisters Christ that are here at Eastside a little more. I want to encourage you in that way. Some of you are here and you don't have a church home, and I just want to invite you to pray and ask the Lord, where is He leading you to plug into so that you can be nurtured and be a part of nurturing others? Maybe it's here. I praise God if it was. And some of us here, I know about Jesus, but don't know Him. So I want to go back to what I said earlier. The call to you is not to grow up. The call to you is to die, to give yourself to Him who died for you, and allow Him to give you new life. Wherever you are, however the Spirit is leading you this morning, I want to ask you to respond. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We ask that You would lead us as we respond, not just here and now, but in the minutes, hours, days, and weeks ahead. Lord, would You work in the body of Eastside to lead us closer and closer to You, more and more like Your Son, Jesus. God, we thank You for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and it is in His name that we pray this morning. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you, and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day. Gone. Oh, my sins are
makes a man. Break him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord. Then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing.
All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Yes, all my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by
I'm not.